Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Chappell, and you're listening to Daily in the Word. The Christian life is meant to be a close, intimate walk with God. When we enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, He becomes our heart's greatest desire. Knowing Him, hearing His voice, sharing Him with others, and seeking to please Him becomes our consuming focus. Having Jesus by our side will truly make the difference. If you find yourself in need of spiritual direction, then I encourage you to stay with us for today's message.
Letting God take the wheel of your life can often seem difficult, especially when life is tough and you're not sure where the road may lead. But if you choose to trust Him, you'll find the peace, contentment, and love that only Jesus Christ can offer. That is why we are in a series entitled Highway 1. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series will challenge you to give God your all, to put Jesus Christ in the driver's seat of your life, and to take your hands off the steering wheel. Right now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Road Construction Ahead.
Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I see a sign that says road construction ahead or detour ahead or construction ahead, it can at times cause a little consternation in my heart. In fact, last Sunday after church, we were driving down Avenue J and I was hungry and ready to eat. And how many of you fellas are like me? When you're ready to eat, you're ready to eat, right? And all of a sudden, down here at 30th and Avenue J, the corner was filled with construction signs and equipment and all kinds of placards telling us to go this way and that way. And all these Baptists were getting out of church, and they were in the way. And I had to remember we were leaving church, and I had to be spiritual because I just preached about it. But I was hungry and on my way to get some food. And sometimes it can be a little frustrating, this road construction. But if you're like me, when it's done, you love it. You're glad. The streets are wider. The streets are smoother and things are going just a little bit better. Sometimes construction can be something like this sign that I saw not long ago. And I thought it really said the story just about right. Be prepared to be annoyed. And how many of you would say that sign can adequately describe some of your days, especially if there's construction along the route? Well, you know, throughout the scriptures, we find various construction projects. We see the tabernacle, the building of the temple, the refurbishing of the temple under Joash. We see various biblical principles in the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, particularly 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, the offering for the church at Jerusalem. Many different biblical principles are given to us that teach us how to approach the expansion needs of ministry. And when we come to the Word of God, we find that these patterns are given so that we might follow and that we might do the work of God in a Christ-like manner. One of the things that I have learned in over 20 years of building parking lots and Sunday school buildings and auditoriums and so forth is that God has used these construction times to build my heart of faith. And that some of the strongest Christians I know, like the couple you saw on the platform just a moment ago, are people who through the years have been stretched in their faith and have trusted the Lord again and again and again. And while we see the buildings around us and passersby see a campus developing, God sees the heart. How many of you believe that? And I believe that God sees hearts that are strong in faith, strong in trust, and ready to glorify God once again. Well, this morning as we look at the construction project of the tabernacle, I want you to see three phases of this construction project that will strengthen all of our lives. And the end result will not merely be some more parking or widening 40th or 1,000 seats in this auditorium. All of that is the byproduct of our hearts growing stronger in the Lord and our hearts being conformed to the image of the Lord. As we turn to Exodus 35, I want you to notice first of all this morning the presentation of a need. You know, this was the responsibility of Moses as the leader of the congregation. He was to present to them a need, but it was not his idea or his vision that was fundamentally the most important thing. What I want you to see this morning is the simple fact that the need Moses was to present was commanded by the Lord. Moses was simply sharing what God had given to him. Notice that in verse 4, "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying." And so Moses was simply repeating what the Lord had given to him. Revelation came that way in the Old Testament to the prophets and in the New Testament to the apostles. And so he was giving forth what God had given to him. Now, we believe this morning that God's commandments are God's enablements. That when God gives a command, he intends to enable us to fulfill the command. And my friend, whether it's giving, whether it's witnessing, whether it's offering forgiveness, God will never ask you to do something that without his grace you're unable to do. But with his grace, you're able to accomplish the work that God calls you to do. And so notice, if you would, first of all, he commanded the construction of the tabernacle. It was God's will that the tabernacle be constructed. Now, some of you recall the story here. It was about 445 BC. The children of Israel had been delivered miraculously from Egypt. God had brought the plagues upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt, and now he had delivered his people. A few months after that delivery, and some of you will recall from Sunday school the wonderful story of the parting of the Red Sea and how the children of Israel crossed safely and how the armies of Pharaoh were destroyed by the mighty hand of God. And a few months after this took place, God brought his man Moses up into Mount Sinai. And there, God gave instructions to Moses for the everyday lives and for the religious worship of his people. And at the center of this religious exercise and this religious life was to be a place known as the tabernacle. And God gave Moses very specific directions about the tabernacle. Every piece of that tabernacle was a type, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It was a reminder of their need for atonement and for blood atonement in particular. God had commanded, God had even given the blueprint to Moses for the tabernacle. And I believe today we must recognize that Moses was simply sharing forth what God had given to him in the way of a commandment for the construction of the tabernacle. But I want us to just take a moment and remember as well the simple fact that he has also commissioned the building of the New Testament church. That God has a will and a desire for the day in which we live, and that is that his church would march forward doing the work that he has commanded us to do. Notice the four steps for church building in the day in which we live today. First of all, we know that he has sent us forth to evangelize the world in which we live. Matthew 28, the Bible says, "And Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now, there are many today who do not want that evangelization to take place. Some would pass laws to hinder it if they could. But we understand this morning that it is our responsibility to take the gospel of Jesus Christ from house to house, from city to city, from nation to nation. God has commissioned us to go forth with the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And then we know this, that he adds to the church. I'm thankful this morning. It's not my responsibility to save a soul, that the Holy Spirit of God does that. It's not my responsibility to build this church. I believe that is also the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm to be faithful in preaching. I'm to be faithful in witnessing and soul winning. But it is all of God, my friend, and we thank him for that. Notice the Bible says in Acts 2:47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." You know, that's a tremendous, tremendous thought. Thirdly, he builds the church. He said in Matthew 16:18, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And then this morning we recognize the fact that he involves his people in the work that he's given us to do. In Luke chapter 19, there's the parable of the nobleman who goes into a far country, and you know the parable. "And he brought his servants unto himself." And in verse 13, it says, "He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come." This is a parable that depicts the Lord Jesus Christ, leaving and going away for a time, giving responsibility to his children, and then coming back and holding them accountable for the responsibility that he had given to them. And what he had told them was simply, occupy till I come. If you're taking notes this morning, the word occupy means settle down and do business. Carry on your business wisely. And Jesus Christ expects all of us to settle down and do business. Someone says, well, don't we believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ? Yes, we do. We believe he could come at any moment. But we also believe that until he comes, he wants us to settle in and to be serious about doing his work and to occupy, to build, to establish, to do the work that he's called us to do in this place. And so whether it was Moses and the tabernacle, or you and me in the work of the local church, the Lord has commanded us to do the work that he's called us to do. Notice secondly, though, it's not only commanded by the Lord, it is committed to the people. The work of God is committed to the people. Now, this always amazes me, and I want you to think about it this morning. The God who parted the Red Sea and the God who brought the plagues upon Egypt's land could have very easily just spoken that tabernacle into existence. He literally could have spoken the tabernacle into existence, but he calls upon his people to do the work of the tabernacle, to bring of their own substance for the tabernacle for a very specific reason. And that reason, my friends, is simply this. He wanted their hearts to be right there in the center of their worship. He wanted their lives to be centered around the tabernacle, the place of his glory. And so notice, if you would, in verse number 5, the Bible says, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever's of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. Now notice some very simple truths about this commitment of responsibility. Number one, every member had an opportunity. Every member had an opportunity to be a part. Verse number 4 says, he went unto all the congregation of the children of Israel. Everyone had a part. Everyone had an opportunity to partner with God in the work of this tabernacle. Moses spoke to all of those in the congregation. And I often think about Moses' responsibility. I think about the fact that God gave him the job of going to nearly 1 million laid off brick workers and telling them they needed to give an offering of somewhere around $10 million. And I often think about what a wonderful job that was, what a wonderful responsibility it was for Moses to gather all these people together. They're out in the wilderness. They are recently unemployed. And now they're going to give what most Bible scholars say is the equivalent of about $10 million in wood, gold, and jewels in order to construct this tabernacle or this place of worship. But it was an opportunity for them to thank God for delivering them from Egypt. Can I just pause here and ask, is there anyone in this room this morning who's thankful that you've been delivered from sin and that you're on your way to heaven? And so it's only on that basis that it made sense for them to have a part in giving for this establishing of the tabernacle. Every member had an opportunity. Secondly, every member had ability. Every member had ability. Now, in this modern era, we all can stop and look at what isn't going right in the economy, what we don't have, what we used to have. We may not always see the ability that God has given to us. And yet, this is a time to pray and seek the face of God and say, Lord, show me how it's possible to have part in the work that you've called me to do. And I want to show you how God did it for the Egyptians. It was, or rather for the Israelites while they were in Egypt. 400 years before this particular passage, the Lord had prophesied to them. And he said in Exodus 3 and verse 21, you shall not go an empty-handed. He said, I'm going to deliver you, but I'm going to deliver you with provision. And look in your notes at Exodus 12, 35. It says, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. The word spoiled the Egyptians literally means that on their way out of Egypt, their pockets, their satchels were filled with all of the provisions that they would need. They had all of the jewelry, all of these different artifacts had been given to them on their way out of Egypt. God said, I'm going to provide you some of the stuff of this world so that when the time comes, you can honor me and you can remember that I brought you out of Egypt. And so they had the ability. They may not have realized it at first, but God had already provided for them. You see, my friends, with God's calling comes God's enabling. Let's say that together. With God's calling comes... God is not going to try us above that which we are able. No one here should be nervous and feel pressure about giving. All of us should say simply, Lord, show me how. Lord, use me. Lord, help me to have a part. Because if you have called me to this place and in this city and in this church and at this time, then you will enable me and you will show me how I can have part in this work. So everyone had opportunity. And amazingly, everyone had ability. And notice thirdly, everyone had a choice. Everyone was faced with the choice. What would they do with their opportunity? Now, I want you to think about this, if you would. And notice in verse number 5, it says, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Notice this phrase, whosoever is of a willing heart. Shall we say that together, please? Whosoever is of a willing heart. All right. Now, we talk about free will and the exercise of it. Here is a grand example of the free will of man. Because just because they had the opportunity did not necessarily mean they would take it. It would require a willingness in their heart, as we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that they would give joyfully, not grudgingly, for God loves a cheerful giver. I love what Spurgeon says concerning the Christian life. He said, I would recommend you either believe God up to the hilt or else not believe at all. He goes on to speak and to challenge the Christians of his day in London that they would fully and totally trust God. Well, you see, they had heard the word and now they would make their choice. And that's the pattern of God's people throughout the ages. They hear the word of God and make a choice. This morning, we will hear the word of God and then we'll make a choice. We will hear the challenge of how to be a part, how to plan, how to give, and then we will make the choice. And I thank God that members of Lancaster Baptist Church have heard the opportunity and then have made a choice to be a part of the opportunity. I think probably the biggest learning experience in my early ministry was the building of the North Auditorium. And if we had the rest of the day, I would tell you some of the trials and afflictions of my first building program as a pastor. And I never forget some of those early days. And of course, the architects gave us a price of what it would cost to build the building, and we got started. They were only about $1 million off, by the way, on their first price they gave us. And we found out later that the city, when they give you conditional use permit, that word conditional actually means something. It actually means that they're going to permit you to use the building based upon, conditioned upon, doing certain other things around that building. And so, for example, we built all four corners at Lancaster Boulevard and 40th Street. We widened the streets. We went several hundred yards in each direction. We found that out after we started the building. We found out we had to build all the curb and sidewalk and gutter around that building. And you say, well, Pastor Chappell, you should have known that. I suppose I should have. I'll plead ignorance. And I didn't realize all that would be involved in that. We put 16 light posts up and gave those over to the city and built all kinds of on-site and off-site construction. And along the way, we had many experiences. We had a bank that said, we'll lend you the money if you'll use so-and-so for a contractor. We said, all right, that sounds good. Only problem was, about 3 months into the project, the contractor went bankrupt. And his foreman, who was not getting paid, took our approved set of blueprints to Arizona. We had to call the police to get our blueprints. And a few months later, we got our blueprints back. And then the Lord called me into general contractorship at the ripe age of 28. And we gathered together some men. I remember back... in one of our building meetings there in 1993 in that north building, we gathered the men together. And as we got into that building, we were just at that point really just paying as we went. and doing the best we could. And at this particular meeting, we had a couple hundred fellas in there, and we had just found out that our electrical bid was not exactly right. And that particular night, I remember the men. I said, "Fellas, look it. God's brought us this far." And Brother Doug Fisher was there preaching for us. And I said, we've got an electric bill right here. I believe it was $61,000 we'd received. And we had a line of credit that was promised at the end of the project. We'd used all that we had raised. That night, those men gave $61,000, and we paid that electric bill the next day and kept the project going. I can tell you story after story after story of how opportunity has presented itself and how God's people have willingly said, "Hey, let's keep the work of God going forward." By the way, that auditorium was filled on the very first Sunday. I'll never forget that day. We had our former Vice President Dan Quayle here that day, and we set chairs up all over the place. And about 3 or 4 weeks later, we went to 2 services. And within just a few months of finishing that auditorium, we were talking about building this auditorium where we're seated this morning. And God blessed in a wonderful way. Last week, more than 700 Spanish-speaking people heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in that building across the way. And I'm simply saying all of this is because people have heard and then have responded. Our choice will be based upon the revelation of the Word of God or the reasoning of man. And when you and I turn from man's reasoning and turn to the revelation of God's Word, we will respond appropriately every single time. Notice in verse 5 it says, "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart." And 5 times we read that phrase, "of a willing heart." You see, giving is not a matter of can and can't. It's a matter of will and won't. And God says, "I want you to have a willing heart." And then he tells them in this verse, he says, "I want you," verse number 5, "to bring it." Notice that little phrase, "let him bring it." It ought not to be something we do grudgingly, but it's something we bring joyfully and happily. And then notice it also says there in verse 5, "let him bring it an offering of the Lord." We're not giving to the church. We're not giving to the building. We're not giving for all of these material things. We are bringing an offering to the Lord. And we're giving to the Lord through his church. I love how that is stated in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 16. It says, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you." Notice this phrase now, "an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." The offering that the Philippian church sent to the Apostle Paul is described as being well-pleasing to God. And so there's the presentation of a need. It was commanded by the Lord. It was committed to the people. Moses was simply saying, "Folks, God has given us an opportunity to establish this place of worship. God has laid it before us." But let's notice secondly this morning the participation of the people. Again, they had a choice to make. And let's see historically and biblically the choice that they in fact did make. Notice if you would at verse 20. "And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whose spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments." Now, I want you to see a few things about these people, if you will, our forefathers in the faith, those who were following after the will of God in the Old Testament era. Notice, first of all, they were a stirred people. These people were stirred up about the work of God. Verse 21 says, "their heart stirred him up." 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 speaks of this. It says, "every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Amy Carmichael said it so wonderfully many years ago. She said, "you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving." And there was in the hearts of these people at this moment in their spiritual walk an appreciation for having been delivered from Egypt, a love for God. They were stirred up. And my friend, I want to encourage you, if you're not stirred up this morning about God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the local church, go back to the place where you were saved in your mind. Focus on the cross of Calvary. Remember what your life could be without Jesus Christ and ask Him to stir you up once again.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And today, he's been teaching a series entitled Highway 1. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to dailyintheword.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go. Friend, if you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748, or you can visit our website at dailyintheword.org and click on the Truth About Eternity link. I encourage you to jumpstart your day with inspirational messages from Pastor Paul Chappell. Sign up now and receive daily devotionals emailed directly to your inbox. Whether you are home, at the office, or on the go, make God's Word a part of your day. You'll be encouraged, challenged, and energized to grow in your relationship with God every morning. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.